my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." One would think that these words of Jesus utterly demolishes the fundamental premise of Christian nationalism. One would think that quoting this passage would be enough, that I could just read them, say amen, and sit down. But not surprisingly, Christians are very good at ignoring the words of Jesus. "Judge not, and you will not be judged." We ignore those words. "Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, visit the prisoner, look after the sick." We ignore these words. "Pay attention to the log in your eye before you help your neighbor with the speck in theirs." We ignore those words. "Do good to those who hurt you, love your enemies, forgive over and over and over again, forgive. Turn the other cheek." We ignore these words. And there are many, many more passages, many more words of Jesus that Christians are good at ignoring. We usually ignore them when they become inconvenient or something that's in the way of what we believe is more important. The words in today's gospel reading are an example of this. When Christians want to seek political power, to exercise temporal control over others, to make people stop doing what they think we ought to not be doing, and to start doing what they think we ought to do, to force and to coerce certain behaviors and specific beliefs, when Christians want to set up a Christian nation, legislate their interpretation and understanding of morality, and impose their view of right and wrong on other people, these words of Jesus are a little too inconvenient, and yet they would put a stop to it. "My kingdom," he said, "is not from this world." Oh, we can try to legislate our ideals and our viewpoints and what we want to our heart's content, but we shouldn't try to drape it in the pious veil of Christianity. And that's where Christian nationalism comes in. Christian nationalism is an ideology that seeks to merge religious, social, and political identities into one concept. It promotes the belief that our nation's culture and governmental policies should reflect a highly selective, ultra-conservative interpretation of religious values. Advocates of this ideology often push their own version of Christianity, believing that it should hold a privileged position, marginalizing other perspectives, suppressing minority viewpoints, and even criminalizing personal expressions of identity that don't align with their definition of what it means to be a Christian. We see this push in many ways. One disturbing example of this can be seen in what's known as Project Blitz. Project Blitz is an ultra-conservative Christian political movement that is providing four model bills for introduction into state legislatures across the country. These bills attempt to impose the teaching of the Bible, understood in a very literalistic and specific conservative way, in public schools, the introduction and the reintroduction of sectarian prayer in schools, and a particular expression of Christianity in public life. There, the Bible Literacy Act, the Student Prayer Certification Act, the Teacher Protection Act, and the Preserving Religious Freedom in School Act. And they have had some measure of success with these model legislative actions. As of today, there are seven states that mandate That means require, friends, that mandate the teaching of the Bible in public schools. Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Texas, and the Texas bill passed last week. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not comfortable with the Bible being taught using some kind of literalistic, fundamentalistic curriculum by people whose training as teachers doesn't include the subject of biblical studies in the academic setting, or in fact, in any way. Indeed, as much as I think my interpretation and understanding of religion and the faith and the Bible is correct, I wouldn't be comfortable with my own view and interpretation being taught in public schools. Never mind that Christian nationalists would rather have me tarred and feathered before I would be allowed to teach my understanding of the Christian faith in public schools. Religious education does not belong in public schools. Thank you. It belongs right here, in our churches, in our synagogues, in our mosques, in our temples, in our religious communities of faith, not in public schools. Anything else undermines the free exercise of religion. It undermines personal liberty to believe as you feel called to believe or not to believe anything at all. This is part of the foundation of a modern pluralistic, tolerant society. And this movement in Christian nationalism undermines it. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not from this world." They would want to make it from this world. Christians are called to proclaim the gospel. Yes, we are. We're called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are. We're called to transform the world. Yes, we are. But not through political power, not through coercion of the state, not through legislation in state capitals or the federal government. We're called to usher in Christ's kingdom, the reign of Christ's love in our hearts, by grace, through faith, with gracious action. Christian nationalism distorts the teaching of Christ while undermining the democratic principles of religious freedom and equality that are foundational to our nation. Simply put, Christian nationalism is neither Christian nor patriotic. It's not patriotic because it destroys the free exercise and non-establishment clauses of the First Amendment to the Constitution. It's not Christian because we don't make disciples of Jesus Christ, we don't spread the gospel, we don't transform the world through executive order, political power, or legislative action, but by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. One of the fundamental tenets of the Protestant Reformation was a recovery of the notion that salvation isn't based on keeping the law, the precepts of the Mosaic covenant. One's identity as God's children isn't dependent upon one's ability to approximate a particular expression or way of behavior that simulates how Christians ought to believe or act. Rather, one's salvation, one's identity as a child of God, one's place in the body of Christ, one's membership in the church is entirely rooted in God's grace, in God's unmerited love and favor, active, lived, expressed, and shared through faith. Faith in God, trust in Jesus, love for God and neighbor. Grace, not legislation. Faith, not coercion. Christian nationalism and other forms of religious persecution that seek to gain power over others is a lie. It denies Jesus' own words in response to Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not from this world. Note, Jesus says that his kingdom is not from this world. It doesn't depend upon the ways and means of this world. It's not built upon the world's understanding of authority and power and rulership, but on a totally different way of being and living, a way typified by grace, by love, by faith, by acceptance, by affirmation. The one who, when he was being murdered on the cross, prayed to God for those who were murdering him, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That expression of mercy and love and grace is what the kingdom of God is about and what we are called to be about in this life as Christians. "For this I was born," he said, "and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Do we listen to Jesus' voice? Do we hear Christ's testimony to truth? Do we long to the truth? Truth of God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. Next Sunday, we begin the season of Advent and the new liturgical year that we do year after year after year. As we begin the countdown to Christmas and the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, let us be open to the reign of Christ's love within us. Let us live Christ's love for God and for our neighbors and testify to the truth of God's love for all. Let's be about making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by grace, through faith, in actions of love, acceptance, affirmation for others. Let's be a community that proclaims by word and deed the truth of the love and presence of Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, "Amen." In your